What's up, guys? We're going to talk about the $100 million offer by Alex Hormozi. I'm going to break this down very quickly because this is a critical part of going to market. Now, there's a couple of things you should know before we do offer creation. One is we have to come up with our ideal customer profile. If you don't have this and you don't know the problems and you don't know their daily work and their processes and their goals and their dreams and their aspirations, and you don't know the fundamentals of who you're targeting, then you can't come up with an offer. Go back two steps and do the offer. Now, I do have some training on ideal customer profiles, how to create them, and then we do something after that called the MOM test. And the MOM test is another training that allows you to survey your ideal customer profile in a way that doesn't bias them towards what you're selling. So generally speaking, I do not go to the market and choose a big 100-person list that is perfect for me and then go and tell them, look at how amazing my product and service is, and then just sell them it. I'll choose 5 to 10 of them, and I will go ask them a bunch of questions such as, what's the biggest problem you're facing today? And what kind of solutions are you using to solve that problem? What do you like about those solutions? So very broad-based questions to start to understand broadly how they think, and it will uncover deeper concerns or issues or perspectives or even vernacular words that they use to describe the problems. And I record those sessions, and then I will be able to actually use those words in the copy, in the messaging, in my sales, and be able to relate to the person better. And speaking of Alex Hormozi, he likes to say, if you can describe the problem better than your competition, you'll win the sale. And it makes sense because when you really deeply understand these individuals, then, and you describe their problem extremely well, there is a thing that happens, and it's called trust. And trust becomes the foundation of everything else that happens within that relationship. And so the very first thing I try to do when I get onto a sales call, or even in a piece of email copy, is say something that they go, yeah. And if they're saying yeah, and then they keep saying yeah a number of times, at some point they decide to jump on a call with me. And I try to do that with the organic content that we do here. I try to do that with a sales call I have, or whether it's a larger presentation to people. Because ultimately, people want the problem solved. That's the goal. And you can't solve people's problems if you don't know who they are and what they're dealing with. So really try to understand these people. So that's like a bedrock foundation. And the reason I'm bringing up the MOM test or the ideal customer profile is because oftentimes people will try to come up with problems out of left field or their brain. They're just making it up. And I know myself as a younger entrepreneur, I used to do that as well. As I used to just say, okay, what's the problem I should solve? And I would just try to think about it and be like, man, my problem is this. And I would usually revert back to myself, which wasn't the wrong intuition. The problem is my younger self when I was 24 trying to be a first-time entrepreneur didn't know anything about the world and didn't know anything about business and didn't know anything about problems worth solving. And so I had to go out and get experience to be able to know what problems I should solve for myself. But in the meantime, what I could have done at that time is come up with an ideal customer profile, come up with a top three that I want to target, and go talk to them, and then do that maybe 30, 40 times. And I can say now, looking back after 13 companies, that the most successful companies started when I did a very clear IDC and then found out their problems. Now, there's a reason that the Y Combinator Group, the famous accelerator for startups, likes to take founders that are solving their own problem. It's because they're subject matter experts on a problem. They deeply understand all the problems, and they've already lived it themselves, and oftentimes they're solving it through some type of mechanism they've deeply considered because they understand the problem so good. And so it fast tracks them past needing to do a MOM test. And even if you are a subject matter expert and you know an industry very well, you should still go find your top 100 list or top three and then build out the top 100 list, and you should go survey them. And if anyone doesn't know what I mean by the top 100 list, I'm talking about, this is a concept that came from Chet Holmes, and I think it's the Ultimate Sales Machine. And then that got played out by various people like Russell Brunson, where they talk about the Dream 100, and various people have talked about this. But the idea is it's the perfect list based upon your ideal customer profile. Let's get into the identify problem section here on this offer creation, because Alex Hormozi heavily relies upon your understanding of this, and then it goes even deeper. Now, what I think is extremely valuable to understand is that the overarching idea of, from the perspective of Alex Hormozi, is that you are extremely niched down. So you go as niche as you can, and you are going to create a offer that is extremely specific to an extremely focused group of people. And that means not just saying broadly, I'm going to solve the problem of uncomfortable airline seats. You'd be like, I'm going to solve the problem of uncomfortable airline seats for people that are over 6 foot and 300 pounds and have sleep apnea and happen to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? It's like a very specific core group. So we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to give you some examples of how we do that. But then he goes further, and he actually breaks down the problems related to the core problem. And we'll talk about that in a moment. And then he comes up with some solutions. So I'm going to scroll to the right here. So you only begin developing solutions after you have thoroughly thought about the problems and then the subproblems. And the solutions, this is a big idea before we get into specifics, that solutions cannot be, and that's a very strange thing to think about, especially if you're a salesperson or a marketing person. And this is where the idea of the awareness scale from Eugene Schwartz, a famous copywriter who wrote Breakthrough Advertising a long time ago. And if you haven't read Breakthrough Advertising, you need to check it out. A very expensive book. You can get it for a couple $100 on Amazon because it went out of print. But the idea is this, is that there's an awareness scale of the buyer, and they have a different perspective of reality about the market than you might, or maybe somebody else in the market does. Even the same very niche down specific ideal customer profile, that you might have a wildly different set of perspectives across those individuals. Now, maybe a part of your ideal customer profile targeting or map is that they're at a certain awareness stage, which is actually worth considering. But the awareness stage is this. It's unaware, problem aware, solution aware, brand aware, product aware. Okay. And so those are the stages that matter. Now, if you're unaware, that means you're not even aware the problem is a problem. And this is where oftentimes you'll go to somebody and be like, you are in so much pain. Did you know that? And they'll go, no, that's not a problem of mine. But you know that it's a problem of theirs. The worst example of this is a cancer patient, right? You have somebody who's deeply in pain, but doesn't even realize they're dying, but they have cancer. They're unaware of the problem. Problem aware is when they are aware of the problem, but they don't yet know what viable solutions are on there. Again, it's a horrible analogy, but cancer is an example of this where it's, okay, let's say you have a brain tumor and the brain tumor, you know that it's a problem, but you're not a neurologist and you don't know anything about cancer. And so you've never gone and looked at what the solutions are. But if you did, you'd know there's something called gamma knife and there's some other type of radiation therapy and et cetera, proton therapy. And I don't know what I'm talking about, but I've done enough research to know the gist. And it's once you realize that, okay, there's these broad categories of solutions that we can go after, then it becomes what kind of brands offer that. Now, Gamma Knife wasn't the best example because I think that actually is a brand and a solution. But imagine there was a broad category called proton therapy. And then of that, there's Gamma Knife. And again, I might be screwing up the names and the solutions, but you get the point is that at some point they become educated through going to the doctor and the doctor says, here are your various options. And there's these categories of solutions. And then you get into the actual specific problem. Specific solutions and brand and product. So you want the key thing here, and the reason I'm bringing this up is as we develop our own offer and we go further in this, we want to make sure that we are speaking to people at the level of awareness they are. So in our copy, our first email to the sales pitch that we have, we can never start pitching at the level where they are not. For example, if I get on a call with somebody and I make a bunch of assumptions about the problems and a bunch of assumptions about the solutions that they are aware of and a bunch of assumptions about the brands that they're aware of, then I will start saying things that may not make sense to them. And generally speaking, people will not tell you when they do not know because they don't want to look stupid. In a perfect example of this is actually in one of the markets that I'm in for. It's oil and gas navigation of all things. And the very interesting thing about this is that market tends to be heavily solution aware, but they're fuzzy on their brands and their products that they know exist. And so generally speaking, that particular type of buyer, which is a oil field manager, and they are trying to buy a GPS solution to get their guys to job locations, they don't realize that there's actually five different categories of solutions within that market. And so there's this thing called e-ticketing, and there's this thing called mass in-vehicle monitoring systems. There's a thing called ELD, electronic logging devices. And we don't have to do a whole seminar on this type of product. But the point is, they're not even aware of those things as being a category. And so then when they make a buying decision in their own minds, they believe that there's only one category and they're all the same solution. And then they start comparing them to each other and getting very confused. So part of my job as a copywriter or a marketer or a salesperson in that particular market is to help explain to them, because they understand the problem, they get that there's this thing called GPS and they can get places, they're solution aware, but they actually need to be more solution aware. And we need to say, hey, by the way, so you think of this as just a GPS solution and it allows you to track jobs. It's actually far more complex than that. So let me explain to you the actual five categories of how you can get to the job site and manage your fleet. And then I explain that to them. So this is a way of thinking about, you got to start where they are, where they don't have the knowledge. Build them up to that level of knowledge, then you can start to pitch. Same thing with offers here. So what I want to do is if I'm creating a bunch of offers and I'm putting it together, I can't do this until I've gotten clear on the problems. Then finally, what we do is we obviously don't want to overcomplicate. If we have a 5-page offer and it's not simple enough, we want to simplify and organize it, but it still needs to be comprehensive. And so if you actually read the $100 million book by Alex Hormozi, his offer does look like the core offer. You get this and this, and then, oh, bonus, this and this. And so he shaves and he stacks these offers that came out of what they call the, I don't know if he calls it this, but it's like the problem solution pair. Finally, this is where I'll finish up here. This is an example of a template that I'm giving everybody and that you can use for yourself. And it's a more tactical way of thinking about offer creation. And the reason I put it together was because I wanted to think through, this is actually a thinking exercise, so that I could start to come up with a finalized output of an offer. And what I was doing at the time was I was creating a fake how do you become an SDR offer. So I was teaching new salespeople how to be SDRs. And so what I do to think through that is, first, I actually don't start at the category. So this is blank. And I don't start at the solution, because again, that's blank. And I even don't even start at the problem. So you're like, why don't you start at these things? I thought that's where you wanted to start, problem, solution. I actually just start listing out problem categories. I do usually start with stages, but I usually just start randomly listing because I'm just brainstorming what problems my ideal customer profile is dealing with. And that becomes extremely helpful for everybody, because you really just don't know, if you haven't done this before for a particular ideal customer profile, all the edges, all the different angles of where the problems could arise. And what's interesting is when you spend an hour or two doing this and go do it and come back to it and go to it and come back to it to let it settle in your mind, you'll start to realize that it's usually a far more complex problem than you realized before. And the reason for that is because, and this is Alex Hormozi talks about this, is you want to solve the problem and think about the problem in terms of what's the problem before they purchase. And maybe it's a belief system about themselves, which we'll get into in a second. And then after they purchase, so in this case, before they purchase my solution to help them become an SDR, after they've purchased and they've succeeded, right? Now they're getting hired, or it's they purchase and now they have to get hired. So now they're in that process. But then what do they do after the first month of being hired? And what about after the 2 to 3 month mark? Does that change? And are there any other categories? So a big element of offer creation isn't just about solving the first problem and the first specific area, which is before they buy from you. It's what about when they buy from you and they have your thing and they're doing it? And what about after they've succeeded? What's the next problem they have to solve? Because if you solve one problem, it creates a new problem. And so this makes you think very deeply about the overall offer and positioning. And so the example here is I just started with, okay, what is the number one problem like a brand new SDR would do? And this seems like stupid if you think about it. Like, what does an SDR do? Why would a person being an SDR want to answer that question? The reason is because they're typically entry-level individuals, typically. And what that means is that they might not know if they're looking for jobs. Let's say you have somebody who's been really good at nonprofit fundraising. That was me. I was really good at that. I had no clue what an SDR was. And I got a job ad that said, hey, make a lot more money as an SDR and get out of nonprofit fundraising. I would first ask, what does an SDR do? And that's a natural first question for people that are not aware. And that's, in this case, a solution, this whole category of sales called SDR, sales development representatives. Are there different types of SDRs? That's a related thing, right? Is an SDR and BDR and appointment setter the same thing? Because there's a lot of offers out there if you're brand new to this space about become a BDR, become an appointment setter. And you hear that a lot. And are they the same thing? And so once you start to list out that, you realize this is actually a category. And so this might have been down here and this might have been down here, but you start to reorder these things in the right sections. And it starts to come together like a puzzle piece. And then once you do, then you can come up with a broad problem statement for this set of subproblems. And this was, doesn't understand SDR role. That's fundamentally what it is. I don't understand the SDR role. And so then the question is, okay, what category of problem is this? And there can be various problem categories, but this one is a knowledge problem. They just don't know. It's an awareness problem. And so what I do is once I come up with every single one of these categories, I then flip them into solutions. But you can see here, it goes, doesn't understand SDR role. Well, what would be the perfect thing that I could sell that would solve this? There's a subsection of my overall SDR crash course called the SDR role explained. I don't know if that's a good name, but it's an example of an SDR role explained. Off the top of my head, I can't come up with a better piece of copy. But this is the idea. Then you go to the next set of problems that, again, may have been all over the place, and then we put them into one line. I've never worked it. So one thing might be like a belief issue. I've never worked in sales before. That was me. When I started, when I was 20, 2023, I was working as a nonprofit political fundraiser. I'd never worked in actual for-profit sales before, so I might actually say something like that. Or I don't have the right degrees or education. I don't have a marketing or sales degree or business degree. I don't have an MBA. I'm just out of school, college. How do I get my first SDR job? So all these things are really, I'm not qualified, experienced enough, right? That's the overall feeling that they're having. So what would be a good solution to that? SDR belief framework. And that would be a solution where I would go explain all the core beliefs they have to know about, how they can do it and why they're still capable and why they don't need to have a whole degree on this. And you keep on going on and on, and you can do this over and over again. And so this is the problems all before the purchase for me. Because if we cannot get them to believe that we know that these are problems, and we're actually asking and saying the questions in their own mind and then saying, hey, we have a solution for that, then they're never going to be able to believe that they can buy because they don't feel like they're the right fit for that. They have all these limiting beliefs about themselves, about who they are and what they can be. And they go, that's not even a solution for me. Now, you could actually bucket this out and say, okay, my ideal customer profile does know what an SDR is. And they have worked in sales before, and they already are deeply clear on how to cold call and prospect. That means that you're getting clearer on who your ideal customer profile is, and therefore you're going to have a different set of problem statements. I made one where this was a broader category of individuals who had never done sales before. So I wanted to answer that question for them. Okay. And so then you get onto, let's say they buy my course. What's the next problem? Is they have to now get hired. They might ask questions like, I don't know what I should be compensated as an SDR. I don't know how to negotiate my salary as an SDR. Should I negotiate, et cetera? And then, so this is a compensation question. So how do I get compensated? I would come up with a solution called the SDR Compensation 101 Plan. And I'm just making this up. I may have not even created this yet. This is where it goes. You ultimately go through all of this, and then they get hired. And then there's a question of what do you do after that. I actually created this example, a completely different offer back in the day, called Master the Art of Sales Leadership with my 6-week online course. And so I came up with this curriculum. And the question is, where did this curriculum come from? First, what I did is I came up with all the problem statements and I put them into sections. The preparing to be a VP. Nobody would know this, but this is the before they buy. The VP of sales role bird's eye view. The little known VP of sales opportunity. VP of sales belief framework. Meet the ideal VP of sales candidate. I'm selling them on being a VP of sales. That's what's happening here because I want them to understand the value of going through a course like this. But all of these are actually solution statements off of a whole category of problems of what they need to, what their problems were. So this is me actually selling them on the opportunity. This is me explaining. They might ask, what is a VP of sales actually do? I'm an account executive. I've been that for years. Why would I want to be a VP of sales? So I have to explain, unpack that perspective and that problem that they're facing, that lack of awareness. And then it goes on and on. A philosopher's guide to be a sales leader, the sales process, the VP sales machine, the who, sales team structure. And so I go on and explain all of this in my course. The point is that when you get done with this, I've answered that before they buy, they've now bought. Now we have to get them prepared to be a VP of sales. And then they're hired. What do they do after that? Because even if they do all this well and they get hired, the problem doesn't stop. Now they have to deal with how do you get started and what can they expect from the CEO or what can the CEO expect of them? Navigating new executive introductions. That's a scary thing if you've never been an executive before. You don't want to look like an idiot. And then I took that and then I put that into a curriculum here where I took the same exact stuff and said, okay, week one, we're going to do preparing to be a VP. And then week two, we're going to talk about sales process and teams, et cetera, et cetera. So I constantly revised this until I came up with a curriculum. Now, I in particular was selling a course, but you could do this for agency services, SaaS services, consulting, whatever. And you can think about it the same way. It doesn't have to be as dense as this. Make this a much simpler version of this. But the point is that this is extremely focused. It's one of a kind. Nothing like this has ever existed in the world to this degree because it came out of my head through deep experience and knowledge of being a VP and talking to account executives and knowing these people and describing all this. And so if you guys want to use this, this is a template at the bottom here. There is a fresh version and you can go fill out the stage before they buy from you, when they buy from you, after they've succeeded with you, and go and fill in all these categories and everything and follow it in the process I just described here. I included all this as an example. Feel free to use it. Let me know if you guys have any questions, but that's how you do offer creation and offer stacking and trimming. And it's how you create a differentiated, extremely niche, but powerful $100 million offer so you can go to $100 million very fast.